Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Trump was holding back tears today when he was signing the Lake and Riley Act. I agree with our buddy Flower Auntie on Twitter who said that. He's holding back tears. It's a very, very emotional ceremony. Just wrapped up a short time ago at the White House. And Lake and Riley's mother spoke. We'll grab the audio for you. Very, very touching. And John Fetterman praising the signing of the Lake and Riley Act. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. Busy day, obviously. Wednesday, hump day. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We're trying something new today using Zoom to stream the show on YouTube. So if there are any issues or anything, we'll make adjustments, but hopefully this works out because we were having this bad delay using this other software program and the clips were looking like I was talking in a bad kung fu movie. You know, when they would, like Bruce Lee, when they would do the English over him speaking, and it was like always that couple millisecond delay. But you know, when I was a kid watching all those movies, I love those movies. Like Godzilla, love them, right? But you know, that was always that delay. Anyway, I don't want the delay. So we're trying this new and hopefully this works and we'll see how it goes. My favorite moment today by far, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s hearing. Bernie Sanders whipping out onesies, okay? No, baby onesies. And he's got onesies in the background yelling at the top of his lungs about RFK Jr., about whether or not he supports what's on the onesies, the baby onesies. By far my favorite exchange of the entire hearing. And yes, because I love you, I watched the entire hearing today, the entire Senate hearing with my leg propped up in the air and some ice on it. Okay, that's not true. We did take a short break for two things. I had the nurse come over today, change out my pick line, got to change that out, and then you got to clean it, put the new pick line in. Got to do that once a week. Otherwise, I could get an infection, die from that. Oh, and he told me some good news today. You know what that is? He said that the staph infection never really goes away. It just kind of goes dormant, but it never goes away. It's in the bone. It's there, like, for life, which is why they cut people's bones out and why they amputate. And I was like, nice, great, super. Loved hearing that today. An uplifting message. Second thing we did is I took my little scooter out. I got this scooter. You know, I put my leg up on it. I scoot around the house. Took it outside on the street today. The other day, I went down the driveway. Wiped out at the bottom of the driveway. That's right. Patrick had to help pick me up. Yep. And today, Bridget and I went around the neighborhood on my scooter. It's beautiful, man. I got a freaking cold out. Anyway, other than that, I watched the entire hearing. And all I did was just pause it during that and then pick it up. There were some great moments. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did a great job defending himself. But the onslaught and some of these Democrats who were just downright just so damn rude to the guy. And all I kept thinking is he makes this point at one point when he's like, you know, you people used to be my friends. What happened? I got to give props to Cheryl Hines, his wife, the actress. She was there behind her husband, sitting next to Megyn Kelly, by the way. And particularly during the Bernie Sanders onesie segment, Megyn Kelly was cracking up. I was cracking up. I loved it. It was gold. I can't wait to show it to you on video. I can't wait to air it. I can't wait to make fun of it. I can't wait. But before I get there, I also want to share with you Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, breaking down today, yelling, literally yelling at Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And one of the best exchanges was when Senator Tillis of North Carolina, who incidentally is going to introduce Kash Patel tomorrow, President Trump's pick to run the FBI. His hearing is tomorrow, so it'll be another very contentious day. He introduces Cash, but he asked Robert F. Kennedy Jr. flat out, are you a conspiracy theorist? And I thought Kennedy hit the answer right out of the park. There were lots of moments of Democrat nuttery, as you can imagine, even when they agree with the guy. Like America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, for example, agrees with Bobby Kennedy that the pharmaceutical companies are too powerful. She agrees with him that big agriculture has too much power, big food. She asked him, will you take any money when you leave your role? He said no. She was like, all right, good. She said, will you promise not to be a consultant or be on the board of a pharmaceutical or medical device company or anything like that? He's like, yeah. And then she still yelled at him. Still in mother-in-law fashion, and my apologies to the mothers-in-law in the Zioli army. I'm not talking about you, but you know what I mean. And in America's mother-in-law fashion, still proceeded to find a reason to yell at the guy, even when he was agreeing with her. So that's what I mean. There was a lot of rudeness on display today. And his opening statement was very, very clear. He's like, listen, President Trump has asked me to help solve America's chronic disease epidemic. We overprescribe medicines for kids. We overprescribe medicines for adults. We spend more money on healthcare than any country in the world, and yet we are among the sickest countries in the world. And think about that just for a moment. I mean, here we are, the United States of America. We're one of the richest countries in the world. We've got some of the best healthcare in the entire world, and yet we still have a chronic epidemic of illness in this country. And this question of whether or not we're giving our kids crappy food, big food supplies the problem, and then big pharma comes along with the solution. And I'll point out to you that Joe Biden, when he was president, was talking about putting 12-year-old kids on Ozempic. Yeah, putting little chubby kids. And I was a chubby kid, so I can say that. I'm allowed. Plus, Trump's president, you can say anything you want now, thank God. But I was a chubby kid. Had my Husky jeans, so I can say it. And look, I mean, there are a lot of chubby kids. I see them. I see my son's friends. Some of them are chubby. I get it. And this is the problem that parents have, is that we try to send our kids with healthy stuff. But as soon as they get to school, the school cafeteria makes Arby's look healthy in many, many instances. I'm not joking. Makes it an Arby's night, like as a healthy option. Like, I mean, who isn't up for an Arby's night? But that's like a healthy option compared to some school cafeteria offerings. Even the snacks. You know, you send your kids with healthy snacks to school and they trade them like it's a black market. So that stuff came up today. It was also asked by Bernie Sanders if healthcare is a human right. And Kennedy's point was, well, the problem with saying that is that there are some people, for example, who smoke for 20 years who wind up costing people more money. So To free speech is a human right. Free speech doesn't cost anything. I thought that was a good answer as well. So we'll get into all that as the show progresses. And if you watch it, give me your thoughts. You can either tweet your thoughts at X, at Rich Zioli, or you can certainly stream along YouTube, 1210 WPHT. Like the page, subscribe to the page, please. And you can weigh in with your comments there. Bummed that Trump signed the Lake and Riley Act before the show started. I was hoping he would do it during the show so we could bring it to you live. But it was a very, very powerful, powerful moment. Oh, and you know what I was thinking today, too? I kept thinking about when the Wall Street Journal writes an article trashing Tulsi Gabbard because she was part of a secret sect, S-E-C-T, in Hawaii, that I'm like, man, you know, the globalist warmongers really have it out for this woman. I worry about her. I worry about Bobby Kennedy. I worry about Cash Patel. I do. I worry about all three of these nominees. I think we all do. I think we all worry about them getting across the finish line. But I'll share that with you as the show goes on. I just think, you know, and it's not the Democrats. I know where the Democrats are going to be. Democrats are going to vote against all three of them. It's the Republicans that worry me. Some of these Republican senators. Like, I know where all the Democrats are going to be. They're all going to vote against him. Tillis today made a point. He said, in this day and age, we're all wearing shirts and skins. That's a sports. I had to Google it. It's a sports analogy, apparently. When you have two teams, some people take off their shirts. They're the skins. The other people wear the shirt. News to me. Anyway. The Democrats, in this instance, the shirts, the Republicans, the skins. No doubt about that. It comes down to party lines. What I worry about are the Republicans. Much like with Hegseth, how many Republicans are going to vote against him? How many Republicans are going to vote against Bobby Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, and Kash Patel? Will J.D. Vance have to break the tie? Yes. No, probably no doubt about it. But will that still be enough? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't think any of us do. And I think that's the problem, is that we can't go into this knowing that we can count on the full support of the Republican Party. Democrats don't cross each other like this. They just go all in. Republicans, though, very different game. And so you have people like Nicole Shanahan, who's loaded, by the way. She's not too hard on the eyes either, especially with that cash. I mean, if you think about it, you combine her looks and her bank account, you're like, so if you think she's a 7, automatic 10. Done. Just because of the 0. I mean, it's the same thing with a guy, right? I mean, women, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, she said, I will primary any senator. I'll fund a campaign against you if you vote against Bobby Kennedy. Whoever you are, I'll vote. I will run a campaign against you. I will finance those people. I will go after you. I was like, good. That's good. That's the way you got to play this game. You got to play hardball here. Another sports analogy for you. That's the way you have to do it. Can't mess around. You can't give these people an inch. You cannot. Let me begin, though, with one of the opening statements today from Bobby Kennedy, which I appreciated. Because as you know, I'm all about freedom. You know, I disagree with my friends on this about banning things. I don't like bans. I just don't. I philosophically have a problem with it. And what I want is for people to have information and knowledge and to be able to make their own choices. If there are chemicals that are truly harmful to the population, then I would like personally, rather than an executive agency to just come out and ban them, I would like Congress to do it. I mean, there was a time when we banned things in this country. We did it by constitutional amendment. If we're going to ban red dye number 5, I personally would like it to be a vote. I don't know. That's me. I'm old school. I don't like executive agencies banning things, trans fats, limiting my salt intake, whatever it is. You may disagree with me. That's all right. It's free country. But here's what Kennedy said in his opening statement, because he has a boss who loves McDonald's. As you know, President Trump, his favorite meal is a cheeseburger, and he eats one every single day. And the man is not stopping anytime soon. Why should he? Why should he stop? He doesn't drink. He's never had a sip of alcohol in his life. He loves fast food. But look, he's 80 years old. He's the president of the United States of America. He's going strong. Guy's got more energy than all of us. I mean, really, like if Trump had a staph infection in his foot, wouldn't take a day off of work. Me, I got to scoot around. You know what I mean? A lot younger than the guy. I got to scoot around. I got to ice my foot. You think Trump would ice his foot? No chance. No way. He would just yell at the staph infection. It would go away like that. Yeah. Just like he yelled at Columbia. And they sent the president's plane to pick up the people. They're like, we're so sorry we caused you any inconvenience. We'll send you our presidential plane to pick up our people, Mr. President. We're so sorry about that. Our bad. The guy doesn't stop, but he loves McDonald's. I personally don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my thing. And I'll tell you the reason why. I eat it. And I love it at the moment. 2 hours later, I feel like hell. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's certain foods you eat and a couple hours later, you feel good. When I went to Italy, the Zioli Army went to Italy. We went to Italy back in, 2018? I don't remember. 2019, whenever it was. And we ate pasta, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In between, bread felt great. Had wine at every meal. I mean, literally, one of the days on the trip, started our day at a cheese farm, drinking wine, eating bread and cheese, had pasta for lunch, felt great. Never felt better. Come home, back in the States, eat pasta. Like 2 hours later, you're asleep on the couch. You know what I mean? So there's certain things, it's like that. For me, McDonald's is like that. My son Patrick hates it, so whenever we do a family road trip, we got to skip McDonald's. Which is a bummer, because again, if I'm on a road trip, I like to eat it. Even though 2 hours later, I'm going to feel like hell. It's not my thing, but I want people to have freedom. The president wants to eat McDonald's, so be it. Let him eat his McDonald's. And as far as I'm concerned, if the guy wants to order two orders of fries, if he wants to do a double Big Mac, if he wants to do that chicken Big Mac, which I don't understand. From my mind, I can't process that. But hey, knock yourself out, Mr. President. You've earned it. Who am I to say? And who's the HHS secretary to say either? If you have a problem with these things, then don't eat it. If you don't want your kids eating it, don't feed it to them. The problem for parents is not that McDonald's is available. The problem is that a lot of the same kind of crap that we try to avoid by not going through the McDonald's drive-thru is available to our kids in the school cafeteria, and they're buying it even though we try to feed them healthy food. And for a lot of people in this country who get food stamps, their kids are allowed to use those food stamps, SNAP benefits, whatever you call them, to buy junk. And the kids are getting fat, and the kids are getting sick, and then the pharmaceutical company steps in and says, hey, tubby, let's shoot you up a little Ozempic. Work on those 12-year-old man boobs. You know what I mean? I had them. It's okay. Like I said, I was a chubby kid. I can say this. Plus, like I said, Trump's president. You can say anything now. But that's what they do. Like, hey, tubby, have a little shot of Ozempic. You're 12 years old. And look, I know a lot of this, too, is that not enough kids get outside and play. They're addicted to screens. COVID changed a lot of the game in that dynamic. Kids got even more addicted. I get it. It's a battle in our house all the time to get the kids off the couch and get them outside. But there's still a lot going on with our food supply. No question about it. Ask any parent. They'll tell you that. Ask them. Anyway, here's Kennedy from his opening statement today, cut number 10.
Understand it and make sure that Americans are aware. But I don't want to take food away from anybody. If you like a cheeseburger, a McDonald's cheeseburger, a Diet Coke, which my boss loves, and you should be able to get them. If you want to eat Hostess Twinkies, you should be able to do that. But you should know what the impacts are on your family and on your health.
Agree. You should know what the impacts are. Absolutely. And then make your choices. No doubt about it. And I think that with Kennedy there, he's going to challenge. And that's all I want. What I want somebody who's not afraid to ask questions about, like, why all this processed crap is in a cereal box, but that same cereal in Canada doesn't have any of this processed crap in it. So why can't we get rid of the processed crap? And at the same time, of course, you realize that may increase the price of food. So then this is where I like the fact that President Trump is going to work on expanding American energy, which is ultimately going to drive down the cost of our food supply. So two things can happen in tandem right there. And that's very, very important. And I got to tell you something. You know, one of my friends out there, Congressman Chris Smith in New Jersey, many years ago, he's a Republican. Okay, he's a Republican. He represents Ocean County, New Jersey, that part of the state, Monmouth County, that area down there by the shore. Big guy going after the windmills. Did a great job along with Van Drew. For years, Congressman Chris Smith has been questioning whether or not Lyme disease is a bioweapon. And, you know, I have come to believe it absolutely is. I think Chris Smith is dead right on that. We've had him on the show over the years talking about this. I believe Lyme disease was 100% a biological weapon. Yet somehow today, Bobby Kennedy, a lifetime Democrat, was screamed at by Senator Michael Bennett, a Democrat, over an idea that's being pushed by a Republican, a moderate Republican, I should add, Chris Smith, who some people in the conservative movement don't like. I happen to think he's a very, very nice guy, but I think on this issue, he's spot on, right? I mean, I think we've gotten everything. He's right about Lyme disease. It's a bioweapon. We need the truth about it. I mean, I know people that have struggled with Lyme disease. They have a horrible time with it. Horrible time with it. But this is one of the things that came up today. Also, trans kids, abortion kept coming up today during the hearing. But here's this exchange with Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, cut 11.
Did you say Lyme disease is a highly likely militarily engineered bioweapon?
I probably did say that.
I want all of our colleagues to hear it, Mr. Kennedy. I want them to hear it. You said yes. Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
No, I never said that.
Okay, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said.
Let's just stop it right there. There's all kinds of experiments and questions around frogs, for example, being able to change their gender based on the chemicals that are in the water supply. Again, not a conspiracy theory. But the issue of Lyme disease, the fact that he's yelling at him saying, did you say Lyme disease is a biological weapon? How does that senator from Colorado know it isn't? Honestly, how does he know it isn't? There's credible information, there's credible reasoning why a moderate Republican like Chris Smith of the Red stronghold of New Jersey has spent years going after this to try to get answers to whether or not we took ticks in a laboratory and proceeded to engineer a virus that would then be used on the battlefield to essentially cause paralysis in enemy soldiers. And that, like a lot of other things, it got out of the lab, and now it is something that we have a very difficult time dealing with in America. And ticks are a big problem. Why? See, this is the when you dig into these people, when you dig into these senators, and I will connect the dots for you as the show goes on today, you'll be shocked at how much money these people take from big pharma, big food, big this, big that, you name it. I mean, all of these senators, Republican and Democrat alike, they're all taking money from big pharma. So follow the receipts. If they vote against Kennedy, you know why. It's not because he questioned Lyme disease. It's because they're in the pocket of big pharma, and they don't want a guy to go there and challenge them. They don't want a guy who's got the courage to go out and say we're over-medicated as a society. We are over-medicated as a society. When you watch football, do you notice how many pharmaceutical ads are on? My God, right? It's like every other ad's either an electric car, an alcoholic beverage, or a drug. So we are over-medicated as a society, but they don't want to hear the HHS secretary saying that stuff. And you think about him working alongside Dr. Marty Makary, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. You could have some real reform in healthcare in the United States of America. A real direct threat to the health industrial complex, and they don't want it, period. They don't want it. I got a ton of great audio coming up for you. Bernie Sanders with the onesies. By far, my favorite moment of today. I will play it for you. You'll love the audio. You'll love the visual. But let's talk about our kids, shall we? Because we got to chat about our kids. We got to talk about what President Trump did, signing what I think is a very, very important executive order banning transgender mutilation surgeries on children, and what J.D. Vance is doing. We need to make American families great again. It's a big Wednesday. I'm glad you're here. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a busy day, but it's always a busy day here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD on Afternoon Drive, which is why I love being back in afternoons. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Very excited to welcome back to the show Bethany Mandel, journalist and author of the best-selling book Stolen Youth. She also has a great podcast, which you should definitely download, and also on Substack, The Mom Wars. Good stuff right there. And also a piece in the New York Post from last week I want to talk to you about, which I didn't even realize, regarding J.D. Vance. So, Bethany, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. Thank God. I'm good. I feel like I'm on J.D. Vance beat at the New York Post because I've written two things about him in the last week and a half.
Well, I didn't even realize that Kamala Harris wouldn't give him and his family a tour of the naval residence.
Yeah, they wouldn't let them in. And it was so frustrating because Usha, J.D.'s wife, said, you know, a little kid hasn't lived in this house in literally decades. We need to make sure it's safe because it's not a new building, and we need to make sure that it's safe for a two-year-old, which is the daughter that she was holding during the inauguration. And their intermediaries, and she was talking directly with Doug Emhoff's people from second lady to second gentleman, they refused.
They refused. Well, that's kind of rude. I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's rude. And, you know, had it been the other way around, of course, you would have heard about that. It would have been national news, right? Yeah,
of
absolutely.
Course.
I mean, yeah.
What's so frustrating about it is that any mom would have gotten this. But Kamala isn't a mom. She's never been a mom. She can call herself Mamala. But she sort of stood behind the fact that, you know, I wasn't given a tour. And I'm like, well, that sounds like something that my three-year-old would say about why she hit her brother. But this is so petty. And she was saying she wasn't given a tour. And first of all, Mike Pence's people adamantly deny that. They said, no, we absolutely offered them access to the residence. But also it happened, like, she took office in the middle of COVID. But it was just such a nasty, petty thing for her to do that impacted not just, you know, Usha and JD, but their three young kids who wanted to see their bedrooms, for God's sakes. Like, they're about to move, and it's been a very stressful summer and fall for them because they didn't know where they were going to live. And you have to think about it from the perspective of a parent of young children, which, again, Mamala has never been. And they need stability and they need to have a picture in their minds. And all Usha could do was show them pictures of this residence that she could find on Google Images.
That's ridiculous. That really is ridiculous. All right. What I wanted to chat with you about today, though, of course, is also on the J.D. Vance beat. J.D. Vance wants to do a lot for families. I've had you on for years over the years. We've talked about families. You've got kids. I've got kids. We're all trying to deal with it. What is J.D. Vance, who's a father, and I think that that was a big reason why a lot of people like the pick of J.D. Vance, because he has young kids mm-hmm. and he gets it. Yep. What's he doing for us, for us parents?
Yeah. So he gave a really wonderful speech at the March for Life over the weekend. And it really, I mean, obviously it hit on the issue of abortion, but he spoke so much more generally and beautifully about making this a country that people want to raise children in. And this is messaging that we've never heard from Democrats. They don't value the importance of family, the importance of children. They don't see the decline in the birth rate as a crisis, which J.D. Vance absolutely does, and he talks about it a lot. But he really spoke so eloquently about the fact that, like, at the end of the day, we can't measure our country's success in terms of GDP or, you know, general economic numbers. But, you know, is this a place where people are taking the leap and deciding, I want to bring more children into this world? And I think that we're in a crisis in this country, a societal soul crisis. And Vance, you know, spoke about that during his speech at the March for Life.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. What, by the way, did you watch the hearing today with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
I did not, but I heard that there was lots of moms in the audience.
Yeah, there were. Well, how do you, I mean, like, as a parent, for example, I remember years ago you were on my show talking about eggs. Remember you wrote that piece mm-hmm. about Costco mm-hmm. eggs and the free range
yes.
eggs? And,
I can't believe you remember that.
Yeah, it was probably, I remember we were in our old studio, so it was years ago, but.
Yeah, yeah.
So egg prices, which were never a thing until now, Trump becomes president. Now suddenly everybody's talking about egg prices. But overall, just health, food, and parents yeah, trying to yeah. find healthy things for their kids. I'm glad he wants to ask these questions and challenge things. It's very difficult for us as parents to find healthy snacks for our kids. And I don't know what it's like for the kids, for your schools. But the crap they make available to our kids in the lunchroom is another uphill battle that parents have to deal with.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really the number one issue that I saw people swinging their support behind RFK. Kaylee and Cassie Means were at the hearing, and their book, Good Energy, was really setting the tone for these conversations about food. And it's funny because I read their book as a parent, and I'm like, I can't do any of these things. And I just gave the book away because I'm like, oh, this is a lost cause for me. I'm not making my own quinoa pancakes. But there is, like, let's just be honest, but there is a real palpable fear about what is in our food and what is in everything. And I'm personally not a fan of RFK in a lot of ways, but he has been effective, unlike anyone else in public life, talking about these things. And yeah. he tapped into it. And that's why when he threw his support behind President Trump, a lot of suburban moms went with him because they trusted that President Trump, even though he eats the Big Macs, even though he's drinking the sodas, he recognizes that this is a real thing of concern for a lot of parents. And even before the nomination and the everything that happened today, the FDA banned a food coloring. Mm-hmm. And people had been talking about the dangers of that food coloring for years. And then even before President Trump became President Trump, the FDA finally decided to get off their butts and pass something about this. And I think that the thing that red pills me the most about this is if you look at the Fruit Loops, for example, if you look at the label in any other country versus America, it's really terrifying what they're allowing in our food that they're not allowing in Canada, in Europe. Yeah. They're using natural food dyes. They're using natural derivatives. Why can't we have that?
Yep. Yeah. Listen, you're a suburban mom. I'm a suburban dad. The moms in South Jersey and dads that I talk to, it's that too. When Bobby Kennedy joined Trump, endorsed Trump, it gave them air cover to be able to back Trump. It was like, you know, they could turn around and people I knew who voted against him in 2020, they're like, well, he's got Kennedy and I've got questions about things. They're not necessarily anti-vaccine or, but they have questions about him. Like, you know, in New Jersey, for example, I don't know, people don't know this, you know this, but preschoolers have to get a flu shot. It's mandatory. Should that really be mandatory? Is that necessary? These are the kind of things that parents worry about, but immediately get slapped with tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists if you ask questions. So Kennedy comes along, and a lot of these suburban moms who honestly, Trump makes them sick, were like, well, now we can endorse Trump and not be mom shamed anymore because we're sending our kids with reverse double osmosis filtered water in non-plastic bottles because of microplastic fears. So they were able to get a little air cover there. And I do think it made a huge difference with suburban moms.
I do too. I do too. And you know, on the vaccine front, I think that one of the things that really red-pilled people, first of all, it was COVID, the fact that they lied to us about the vaccine and kids especially. But the way that they've talked about vaccines has changed a lot. And the way that we are presented with no choice, like you were just talking about with the preschool stuff. There's no, and it was funny, I just brought my my oldest child to her 11-year-old pediatrician appointment, and the pediatrician said, okay, well, we have two vaccines for her today. And I said, oh, what are they? What is she behind on? And one of them, it was like Tdap or something. Fine, I'm gonna say yes on that. And the second one was Gardasil. And I was like, oh, whoa, hold on. And she just presented me the two vaccines at, like, she didn't even tell me the names. It was just undebatable in her. That was how she presented it. And I said, whoa, no, that's not one we're doing. I would like to, you know, do more research and figure out if that's something that I'm comfortable with, because it's a different animal, the same as the COVID shot. It's a very different thing. And the way that public health authorities have presented these things as, you know, it's, you can't have a conversation about it. You can't have your own opinion. This is the only way to think about this, or that's it. You're not allowed to go to school. You're not allowed to be my patient. That, to me, sends my bat signal to an 11.
And two things on that. So Gardasil is the vaccine for human papillomavirus, HPV, in case people were wondering. And for a lot of parents, I'm with you on this, too. It really, you see the commercials on this and you go, okay, there's also another way to avoid that, which is to teach your kids not to have unprotected sex with lots of different people. Like, you know, there's also that option. But the other thing, too, is that, let's take New Jersey and California, two states where they passed laws to say that doctors who give you as a parent, Bethany Mandel, misinformation could lose their medical license, which is such a silencing, a deliberate silencing to try to shut these people up so that when you go in the waiting room and you ask a question, they don't know, hey, is this mom really just curious, or is this like a secret undercover agent for, you know, King Philip the Unaccountable Murphy, and I'm going to get ratted out and lose my medical license. So the doctors are afraid to give you any honesty, and that's also absolutely unacceptable.
So when I was writing Stolen Youth with Carol Markowitz, I spoke to a doctor.
Love her, by the way. She's great, too.
She's amazing. She's one of my best friends. That's why I wrote a book with her. And I spoke to a doctor who, first of all, wouldn't even have a conversation with me on the phone. She demanded that we meet in person because she was so afraid of losing her license. And she told me that over the course of COVID, they passed this, I guess these rules or these guidelines for doctors that if you spread misinformation about COVID or the COVID vaccine, you could lose your license. But then they expanded that because once they opened the door, then they shoved their foot in. And then they started saying, if you start spreading misinformation about reproductive rights, then that's another cause for you to lose your medical license. And so they used COVID as a cudgel to get in the door, and then they expanded until finally you couldn't say anything against the norms without fear of losing your medical license.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. And I talked to a buddy of mine about this, who's a physician, who was filling in for me, and he was the CEO of Cooper Hospital. And he said, this is the problem with that law, is that science is all about challenging conventional norms. And doctors should be always looking at new ways of treating diseases and thinking about out of the box ideas. And that's a very important thing. But this is deliberately done to stifle them. And look, I'm with you. I mean, there's a lot of things about Bobby Kennedy I don't like. His stance on climate change. I mean, his stance on life. I mean, these are things I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I mean, President Trump picked him for a reason. I think that it helped President Trump get elected, no doubt about it. I also think a lot of this is overblown in the sense that the HHS secretary shouldn't have that much power. If we really can correct course on the executive branch of government, we really should be reining in the power of Health and Human Services and then all of the other agencies and give power back to Congress on these things and not have to really worry so much about a secretary.
Yeah, I was just reading an advanced copy of a book that isn't out yet, but I really recommend it to your listeners, called Doctored. And it was about the rot in FDA. A lot of the rot in Alzheimer's research, about the many, many ways from, you know, an individual drug zooming outwards towards research, towards drug development, towards everything, that has basically set Alzheimer's research back decades because they were barking up the wrong tree. And the collusion that I read in this book between pharmaceutical companies and the FDA and journalists who are covering science, it was so red pilling. And this, the journalist is not, he writes for like Nature and Science. Like, he's not a right winger by any means. And I'm sure he wouldn't love that I'm talking about his book like this, but I took from that book.
Hey,
like,
you're plugging it. I mean, come on. You know.
I know. I took from that book, like, oh my God, there is a deep state within the science establishment, especially in HHS and the FDA and all these things. And this is why people wanted to vote for President Trump, because they're going to bring in RFK in HHS. They're going to bring in Marty McKinney in FDA. Like, they're, he's going to bring in nominees who break up this mafia that has completely disrupted our healthcare system.
I think that's, I think mafia is a great way to put it. Look, Dr. Marty McCarry was on my show recently about this, and he brought up statins. You know, I mean, everybody who's got high cholesterol is immediately given a statin. We don't even, we don't know if that's the right way to handle this thing, but we can't ask the question. Like, when I went to my doctor and my cholesterol is high and he's like, well, I'll put you on Lipitor. I was like, I don't want to go on Lipitor. He looked at me, Bethany, like I had nine heads. You know what I mean? It would have been better if I said to him, just chop my arm off and just do that.
I have high cholesterol. I have super duper high cholesterol, and I haven't even gone to the doctor because I know that's what they're going to say. So I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
And Jay Bhattacharya, who was called a kook during COVID for asking these questions. I mean, all these guys who were just maligned by the health industrial establishment. For me, I was really red-pilled when I watched the show Dope Sick and then read the book about how this revolving door between the FDA, quote-unquote, regulators, who then jump over to the pharmaceutical companies and cash in. So, you know, if you're there at the FDA and you're making whatever you're making as a government employee, especially now that you're being told you have to go back to the office, and there's a new drug to approve, you don't want to stand in the way of that, because you could jump over to Pfizer, make, you know, $500,000 a year. So you're not going to mess with that. And that's exactly what happened with the opioid epidemic in this country. And so why even have regulatory agencies if that's going to be the case? That's just a giant waste of money.
And in Doctored, he talks about that. He talks about the fact that, you know, regulators were sitting in front of their future employers, and they thought to themselves, I don't want to rock the boat because I'm going to go knocking on this guy's door for a job in a year. And so it really has a silencing effect. And one of the drugs that he talked about in his book that kind of became the gateway into him looking into all of this Alzheimer's research was a book that would, or a drug that, I think it was like 17 of the 19 folks who were on the panel were like, ooh, we're not so comfortable with this. And they accelerated it and they gave it a special pass to pass through because they were like, we want to look like we're doing something. And so even with all of this corruption in place at the FDA, they're still sideswiping everything. And it makes me question everything. And the experts walk around calling us dumb, and I'm over here like, well, maybe this is like the leeches from the 17th century. Like, who's to say that it's any better or worse other than the fact that our life expectancy is much better? But maybe that's just sanitation. I don't know. I'm so red-pilled. I'm going to get canceled for this.
No, not on this show you won't. That's for damn sure. check out our columns at the New York Post. Check out the book, The Mom Wars, which you can buy, and I highly suggest you do. Follow Bethany on X at Bethany Shondark. And hey, thanks, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. Where can people get your podcast? I'm assuming it's everywhere. What's it called?
Yeah, so we're launching a Substack. It's called The Mom Wars, and we're coming up this week. So it's on social media. It's on Instagram, Twitter, everything, and on Substack, The Mom Wars.
Awesome. Great. Well, good luck with the launch, and come back and see us again soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So the big story of the hour, obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation hearing today, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. Speaking of doctors, this guy's the best. He's going to give you the smile of your dreams. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Just go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. So what's at the heart of this is a lot of people on the left, a lot of these senators, these fat cats, are in the pocket of Big Pharma. They are. Just follow the money, and we'll do that today on the show for you. We will follow the money. Peel it all back for you so you can see with your own eyes as they attack Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And, of course, President Trump today signing the Laken-Riley Act into law. Big show still to come. We're streaming live on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Omar Bob Menendez, 11 years in prison. That scumbag senator from New Jersey, Bob Menendez, who, by the way, from a guy who cut his teeth in Jersey politics, I can just tell you, everybody knew Menendez was corrupt. Everybody. 100%. Nobody doubted that. The thing, though, is that they left him alone. The only reason they went after him is because he crossed Biden on the Iran deal. This is how Democrats work. Let me tell you how Democrats do things, all right? You are allowed to be as corrupt as you want to be. Be as corrupt as you want. They don't care. They're all corrupt. How many of these SOBs in Washington are making money off their stock trades, their insider trading, and, I mean, Pelosi? And please, they're all corrupt, and you're allowed to be. No problem. But if you cross them, then they'll expose your corruption and bring you down. That's it. That's the game. So the first time they went after Bob Menendez was back in 2016 when he opposed, or maybe 2014, when he opposed Obama on the Iran deal. As he said, it was a bad deal. Stupid. Dumb. You're giving Iran the money to build a nuclear bomb. It's dumb. Opposed it. Then all of a sudden it gets indicted. Now, everything that they knew about Bob Menendez back then was an open secret. Him and this buddy, this doctor, and the overbilling Medicare, and they're taking all these flights to the island, and it was all out there. The only thing that changed is he crossed Obama. Years later, back in 2019, the New Jersey State Attorney General was confronted with all this information about Bob Menendez's corruption, passed on it. Nothing happened to Bob Menendez. He was allowed to be corrupt, but everybody knew about it. None of these allegations were new. All this stuff, development in Jersey City, development in Newark, gold bars, the Mercedes, his wife who freaking kills somebody, and the cops show up and they let her leave the scene of the accident without even so much as a breathalyzer. It was all there. Everybody knew it. But then he crosses Joe Biden on the Iran nuclear deal. And by Joe Biden, I mean Blinken, not really Biden. Biden didn't even know there was an Iran deal. And then they indict him. They go after him. That's the game. Same thing with Eric Adams in New York. What Eric Adams is accused of doing in New York, which I think is stupid. These accusations against him are nothing like Menendez. Menendez is as corrupt as they come. This cat was throwing his wife under the bus, trying to blame it all on her. And she's a sleazeball, too. But with Eric Adams, what happened? These allegations that when he was a New York City councilman and he took flights and they gave him upgrades to first class and gave him better hotel rooms and they indicted him for that? Are you freaking kidding me? But what happened? He came out and he said that if they keep sending us 10,000 illegal immigrants a day, you will destroy New York City. So they indicted the guy, just like Trump predicted they would. That's the game. That's how Democrats play the game. Be as corrupt as you want. Make as much money as you want. Put your hands in every cookie jar, you freaking sleazeballs. But you better stay in your lane. And then if we ever need to use this against you, a.k.a. Joe Biden, we will. So get out of the race, or we're going to expose all your corruption. What, you don't think Barack Obama and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all these other people who came to Joe Biden to tell him he had to get out of the race weren't prepared to use everything from that Hunter Biden laptop against the Biden crime family to get Joe Biden out of that race if he did not go willingly? I told you, that's how they got Biden out. Biden is a stubborn Irish SOB. He wasn't going anywhere. He was not going to go anywhere, but they had the goods on him. He made millions of dollars, millions upon millions of dollars, selling his office right under Barack Obama's nose. Obama obviously had to know about it. He was vice president, given the Ukraine portfolio. Stop. Everybody knew Biden's corruption. That's why when the Hunter Biden laptop story broke in 2020, you had 51 former national security deep state hacks all coming out and telling you it was Russian misinformation because they needed him to win to be their puppet so that Trump wouldn't get a second term. But they knew it wasn't about Hunter Biden's nudie pics. It was about Joe Biden's corruption. That's why Biden had to pardon his entire family on the way out the door. So that's the rule. Menendez deserves this. He absolutely 100% deserves to go to prison. He's a corrupt, corrupt man. But he always has been. And that's the only reason he would have got away with it if he had just kept his mouth shut about Iran. I'm telling you. That's also a weaponized Department of Justice, you understand. A Department of Justice that protects its friends, punishes its enemies, and then protects its friends until those people are no longer friends, in which case then it punishes them too. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.